We often hear about the phrase sitting duck. You think of vulnerability, an easy target. That's a position we don't want to be in. And there's a campaign recently launched around the Kaloa Iki, a little Hawaiian ducky with a serious message about resilience and climate change. We hear more about the campaign, which is a joint effort of the State Department of Land and Natural Resources, Office of Conservation and Coastal Lands, the Board of Water Supply from various counties, and the University of Hawaii Sea Grant College. We recently sat down to talk to Kauai County Planning Director Ka'aina Hull and DLNR's Anu Hiddle about new guidance just released today on dealing with sea level rise and the new scrutiny about future development. Here's what you need to know.
When you say sea level rise, you think about the ocean and you think about the coast. And of course, that is true, but there are impacts inland. And that's something that we're trying to work with in this initiative that we're calling Climate Ready Hawaii, which we've launched last year with the blessing of the state's Climate Change Mitigation and Adaptation Commission to assist Hawaii's agencies and communities adapt and become more resilient to climate impact, and especially here in this case with sea level rise.
So how bad is it? What's the prediction?
We're looking at the worst right now, what they've talked about in the extreme scenario. At 2100, you're looking at like over 10 feet of sea level rise, of mean sea level rise. It doesn't mean that every place is going to see that and that that's what's happening exactly. It just, that's the sort of scale of things, right?
Well, jump in here, Kaina. I mean, from where you sit, you know, what's your concern?
We've been getting these projections and this data for some time now, and they're officially adopted by the state climate change. And there are some areas that look pretty bad. There's some areas that don't look too bad. And the data that we were able to get in what's kind of tracked as a sea level rise exposure area, some of those scenarios that were being mapped out had a lot of people panicking because it showed, you know, all parts of the island underwater and submerged. And you really have to take some time to delve into what those projections are. Some of it is, in fact, parts of Hawaii will be in perpetuity underwater in these areas within this century. But some of it wasn't. Some of it's also high wave run-up and certain depths of the waves. Some waves, you know, might be a foot deep on an annual basis. You might get one wave on your property, or you might have passive flooding on some areas. So taking those numbers and taking those projections and being able to fold them into a manner in how we can plan for at least in my situation, Kauai's future growth patterns, future built environment areas, and whether it should be kept out of certain areas, or whether if it's constructed in certain areas, what type of mitigation and adaptation approaches can you utilize, whether it's, you know, building at higher elevations, building at certain other areas part of the property, and being able to mitigate some of these impacts.
Your island got trashed with the major flooding that we saw just a couple of years ago, and I don't even think things are back to normal yet.
There's still some properties still trying to recover from that. What we went through with the rains in 2018, it made it acutely aware to a lot of our community members that taking measures to protect ourselves from these type of future impacts is absolutely necessary. Now, you know, some property owners, of course, don't want to get this additional level of scrutiny requirements, and in some cases removal of development rights. But for the most part, you know, in order to ensure that our communities are protected with these impacts in both coastal and, as Anu was mentioning, inland floodable areas, is becoming, I'd say, an acceptable discourse that's happening here on Kauai. I was with the mayor and some council members, and he was signing a series of six ordinances that the council adopted for West Kauai, and one of those ordinances actually incorporates specific sea level rise exposure area data that was adopted by the State Climate Change Commission to create the first zoning district that looks at saying these areas are now subject to exposure from coastal hazards with climate change, and additional standards need to be applied whenever they're proposing a project in these areas. So we're taking very specific legal and ordinance level actions to help shore up our island to be able to mitigate or handle climate change and its impacts.
Where on the west side?
There were areas in Kekaha, in Waimea, and Hanapepe that were identified as susceptible to some form of coastal impacts, be them passive flooding, coastal erosion, or high wave run-up as generated within the sea level rise exposure area. And those immediately adjacent to the coastline that were to be impacted by one of those three hazards was essentially placed in what has been labeled now as the Special Treatment Coastal Edge Zoning District.
Okay, and Anu, now this is, you know, we're talking Kauai here, but this message is really to the broader audience across the state.
That's right, and it's a statewide audience, but it's also a multi-partner campaign, and we've involved federal, state, local partners. We've got Board of Water Supply here on Oahu, NOAA, federally and the Climate Commission and many, many friends, non-governmental partners, also community members like Solomon Enos, who created a duck, a Koloa Iki. Koloa is the native sort of mallard cousin for here in Hawaii. Also, it's endangered. And you might think, you know, a duck as the face of sea level rise, well, you know, ducks are just going to rise as sea level rises. Well, it doesn't actually like brackish water. And that's what we're finding, is that this water is also coming inland. So that's one of the issues we want to bring attention to statewide. So looking not just at coastal erosion and high wave runoff and things like that, but also at inland flooding, looking at where is all this water going to go once it storms. You know, this is on a regular sunny day when you're seeing this kind of flooding. So imagine now what's going to happen when you get storms. And then we're also trying to bring this connection. It's all through this website, which is Koloa Iki, meaning baby koloa, .org. And it's all into a myriad of activities that go into taking action on this issue. So things like what Ka'aina is doing. And I should also add that Ka'aina Hull is on the State Climate Commission as Director of Planning in Kauai County. So all four county planning directors are on the commission.
The idea is that when people go in to apply for a permit, there's going to be a lot more scrutiny because of what we're seeing with climate change.
Yes, and I think that's also what you're going to see, you know, just to protect, as you said, people, plants, and pets, right? So you want to make sure, and your property as well. So you don't want to be building where the water is going to keep flooding, and you don't want to build where you've got contamination. And so, I mean, we're sort of simplifying the issue here, but there are some complicated issues, but just sort of wanted to show the range of activities that are going on. And that's what Koloa is also trying to do, is bringing to the general public, to educators, to parents, in a time like this where we're all sort of homebound and wondering what to do during the holidays. Maybe we've brought some music and some information to people on sea level rise issues, and also tying it back to the more science and planning issues.
I do think there is a public appetite and desire to move towards not just, you know, planning and guiding policies on how to approach sea level rise and climate change, but actual hard and fast requirements deal with the impacts of climate change that we're dealing with today and are projected to in the future. How far it goes, right? You know, a lot of it also remains on the fact that some of it will be removal of property rights. So while the general community may be accepting of it, right, when you deal on an individual property right ownership level, in principle, property owners should understand these type of requirements are helping to protect and ensure the longevity and livelihood of the property itself. But, you know, in reality, a lot of properties here in all of Hawaii are speculative properties that are held pretty much just for speculative purposes, particularly along the coastline, in which the closer you can get to the ocean, the more that's going to bear on your investment from a property speculative aspect. And those are, you know, somewhat codified, of course, throughout the United States Constitution property rights. So as we look at things, like one of the things we're looking beyond this coastal edge district that we just adopted is we're contracting to bring in additional scientific review to be able to incorporate sea level rise projections into our shoreline setback ordinance that would push the built environment's setback further away from the coastline, depending on that data. And so while we're setting it up, one of the focal points of incorporating that data is ensuring that our ordinances can be upheld against litigative scrutiny. It's not a matter of if we're going to get sued on some of these things. We're going to get sued. The property rights and the amount of money that's involved with some of these is we're inevitably going to end up in court, but we have to make sure that what we're doing is constitutional, there's a nexus to it, and we're able to defend it.
We're talking about, I guess, managed retreat in some aspects when we start planning for what's to come along the coast.
Managed retreat comes in a different set of forms, whether it's, you know, actually pushing and requiring property owners to move their structures and their homes further back. I can say we also recently purchased a 400-acre property that's Mauka up in the Waimea area. And in order to possibly deal with some of these managed retreat requirements or realities that we're facing, is looking at possibly a swap-out program for property along coastlines. That's still in its infant stages, and a lot of discussion needs to happen with the community. But having those discussions and beginning them now is imperative to make sure that in 10 to 15 years we have specific strategies when when we know some of these properties will be falling into the ocean.
Right. So this is kind of a heads up. This is what we're going to have to deal with. There's going to be trade-offs. We're going to have to bite the bullet. There's no way around it.
Yep. I'd say that's an apt metaphor. I would say we've done a lot of work in the past year or two. I think to a certain degree, when you're talking about things like resiliency and planning for, you know, hazardous impacts, Kauai is particularly, there's a much more a stronger appetite in it than I'd say in some other areas, because we've been hit with so many disasters. There are so many people here that still, you know, remember and have vivid memories of Iniki hitting, and then of course the 2018 flood. But just that fact that these communities here in Kauai have had to live through these emergencies and these crises before, I think it allows us to be able to have that discussion without immediately getting shut out of the room. Because we get shut out of the room sometimes when we try to discuss some of these issues. But there is a fair amount of appetite within these communities themselves.
Serious issues. You're hoping you get people's attention, Anu, with Kaloa Iki?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's one of the issues, what Kaina is talking about, and that's obviously it's a huge issue, so we're looking at coastal property. But again, we're trying to also bring that inland and say there are things happening inland also that people should be paying attention to, and it's not too far off. But also as the holidays roll around, I would say, take a look at what we've got. We've got art, music, paper dolls, superheroes. I mean, what's not to like?
That was Anu Hiddle and Kaina Hall talking about being climate ready. It's tied to an interesting campaign built around a Hawaiian duck and new guidelines to help shape future development. There's a sing-along page on their website where you can find a little Kaloa Iki ditty written by Michael and Suzanne McCrary. The public is encouraged to record their version and share it for some interactive fun. Here's Drew Henme from the Hawaii Department of Education singing the Kaloa Iki song.
Surrounded by the ocean, we see the rising seas. Beaches disappearing in the warm and gentle breeze. I met Kaloa Iki, and this she said to me, let's learn about the climate and the level of the seas. Kaloa Iki tells us as she swims in pools so blue, to help us preserve our aina, this is what you do. Learn about the climate and the rising of the seas. We need to save our islands, our waters and our trees.